Now, the Buddha figure, it's like that of the Christ. Of course, 500 years earlier, you could match those two traditions right down the line, even to the characters of their apostles or their monks. Christ, now there's a perfectly good hero deed formula represented there. And he undergoes three temptations. The economic temptation, where the devil says, "You look hungry, young man, change the stones to bread." Jesus said, "Man lives not by bread alone, but every word from the mouth of God." Next, we have the political temptation. He's taken to the top of a mountain and shown the nations of the world and says, "You can come into control of all these if you'll bow to me." And then, "Now, you're so spiritual. Let's go up to the top of Herod's temple and see you cast yourself down, and God will bear you up, and you won't even bruise your heel." So he says, "You shall not tempt the Lord your God." Those are the three temptations of Christ. In the desert, the Buddha also goes into the forest, has conferences with the leading gurus of the day, and goes past them, comes to the Bo tree, the tree of illumination, undergoes three temptations. They're not the same temptations, but they are three temptations. And one is that of lust, another is that of fear, and another is that of social duty, doing what you're told. And then both of these men come back and they choose disciples who help them establish a new way of consciousness in terms of what they have discovered there. These are the same hero deeds. These are the spiritual hero deeds. Moses, the Buddha, Christ, Muhammad. Muhammad literally, and we know this about him, he was a camel caravan master, but he would leave his home and go out into a little mountain cave that he found and meditate and meditate and meditate and meditate. And one day a voice says, "Write," and we have the Quran, you know. It's an old story.
Sometimes it seems to me that we ought to feel pity for the hero instead of admiration. So many of them have sacrificed their own needs.
They all have.
And very often what they accomplish is shattered by the inability of the followers to see.
Yeah. You come out of the forest with gold and it turns to ashes. That's another motif that occurs.
In this culture of easy religion, cheaply achieved, it seems to me we've forgotten that all three of the great religions teach that the trials of the hero journey are a significant part of it, that there's no reward without renunciation and without a price. The Quran speaks, "Do you think that you shall enter the garden of bliss without such trials as come to those who passed before you?"
Well, if you realize what the real problem is, and that is of losing primarily thinking about yourself and your own self-protection, losing yourself, giving yourself to another. That's what a trial in itself, is it not? Mm-hmm. There's a big transformation of consciousness that's concerned. And what all the myths have to deal with is transformation of consciousness. That you're thinking in this way, and you have now to think in that way.
Well, how is the consciousness transformed?
By the trials.
The test that the hero
undergoes.
Tests
are certain illuminating revelations. Trials and revelations are what it's all about.
Well, who in society today is making any heroic myth at all for us? Do movies do this? Do movies create hero myths?
I don't know. Now, my experience of movies, I mean, the significant experience I had of movies was when I was a boy, and they were all really movies. They weren't talkies. They were black and white movies. And I had a hero figure who meant something to me, and he served as a kind of model for myself in my physical character, and that was Douglas Fairbanks. I wanted to be a synthesis of Douglas Fairbanks and Leonardo da Vinci. That was my idea. But those were models, were roles that came to me.
Doug, Does a movie like Star Wars fill some of that need for the spiritual adventure, for the hero?
Oh, it's perfect. It does the cycle perfectly. It's not simple morality play. It has to do with the powers of life and their inflection through the action of man. One of the wonderful things I think about this adventure into space is that the narrator, the artist, the one thinking up the story, is in a field that is not covered by our own knowledges, you know? Though it's much of the adventure in the old stories is where they go into regions that no one's been in before. Well, we've now conquered the planet, so there are no empty spaces for the imagination to go forth and fight its own war, you know, with the powers. And that was the first thing I felt there. There's a whole new realm for the imagination to open out and live its forms.